Jesus did a lot of things during the course of his life on earth, but of course, the most important thing that he did, his primary mission in this world, was to suffer and to die for us, so that we could be forgiven for our sins and have the hope of eternal life. Today's gospel presents Jesus' temptation in the desert. Satan appears here and offers three different proposals. And sometimes when we think about temptation, which is a familiar experience in our life, we think that the main purpose of the temptation is simply to get us to sin in some way, big or small, to get us to turn away from the Lord our God, whom we should love with all our hearts. And indeed, the enemy does rejoice when we sin, when we give in to a temptation. But if we look at today's gospel, we'll find that there's another underlying reason or aim behind these temptations. Let's look at the first one. The devil says, basically, you're so hungry after these 40 days and 40 nights, here are these stones. If you're the Son of God, turn them into bread. Satisfy your hunger. And maybe if we read a little bit more into this, what he's saying is, look at the world. Look at how much hunger is out there. Look at how many are homeless, how many are sick, how many are suffering with any number of different things. If you're the Son of God, do something about it. If you're really the Son of God, you could solve world hunger. You could make sure that everyone had enough to eat, that everyone had a place to live, a roof over their heads. You could do away with illness, disease. You could do away with all suffering. If you're the Son of God, why don't you do that? But as good as social work is, feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, and as necessary as that is, Jesus didn't come just to be a social worker. Jesus came to suffer and die and save us from our sins. The second temptation, Satan takes him up to the top of the temple in Jerusalem, says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. God promised in the scriptures that the angels would attend to you. And maybe if we read a little bit more into this, what he's saying is, if you're really the Son of God, show us what you've got. You could become quite famous if you can do all these things. You know, think of how the people will praise you if they see you do this. You could become a sensation, really. You could have a huge crowd of people just raving about how awesome you are. And although we do praise Jesus for who he is, Jesus did not come to become famous. He didn't come into this world just to be well known and to receive the praises and that kind of adulation from people. Jesus came to suffer and to die and to take away our sins. Look at the third temptation. Satan takes him up to a big high mountain and shows him the kingdoms of the world and says, all of this can be yours if you just bow down and worship me. What is the temptation? Not only to wealth, not only to innumerable possessions, but to power and control. But Jesus did not come to become wealthy in that way, or powerful in material terms, or even political terms. Jesus came to suffer and die and to save us from our sins. So all of these temptations that the devil levels at Jesus are not just to try to get him to fall into sin. These temptations that are put forward are meant to distract Jesus from his mission. If he starts thinking, instead of about suffering and dying and redeeming us, if he starts thinking about just feeding the hungry and taking care of material needs, those are all good things, but he misses his primary mission. If he starts getting concerned about the esteem of other people, becoming famous, becoming well-liked and all of that, he gets distracted from his mission of taking up his cross and redeeming the world. And finally, if he gets so wrapped up in trying to grasp for power, he gets distracted from his real mission. And the reality is, the same thing happens to you and me. We are tempted, and it's not just to try to get us to fall into sin. The aim of temptation in our life is also to distract us from our mission. What is our mission? Not to save the world, but to take up our cross, to follow Jesus, and to allow that cross to be the instrument that makes us holy, that turns us into saints. See, most of us will do everything we can to avoid suffering. I'll be the first to admit that. Something comes up, I say, ooh, I got to devote a lot of energy to cutting that suffering out of my life. And sometimes it's good to do, you know, to take measures to alleviate suffering. As I've said before, you don't sit there with a headache day after day after day when you could take an aspirin and get rid of it. But many of the sufferings in our lives are beyond our control. They're just present, and they are actually, believe it or not, wonderful blessings that the Lord gives us, opportunities for us to grow in holiness. Because when we are materially satisfied, when we're comfortable, when we have the esteem of other people and we're well-liked, when we think we've got control over things, how easy it is not to trust in God, not to turn to God, not to look toward deepening our relationship with God. But when we have a material need or a physical need, when we're sick, when people don't like us, when we feel helpless and completely out of control, there is an awesome opportunity in that to grow in our faith and to allow that suffering precisely to be the instrument of our sanctification. So it's no wonder that the enemy would want to distract us from that and instead try to get us to turn our attention to getting rid of all of that, to getting rid of the one thing that's really going to make us saints. We can take a good look at how Jesus responds to these temptations. He always turns to the Word of God. He relies on his Heavenly Father and his relationship with God, the love of God, to get him through these temptations. And it's not just a matter of making temptations go away, but of plowing through and truly overcoming them by the strength that God gives us.